Believers should be motivated by love, not by praise. When we do good in secret, we are seeking what is truly good for others. Nobody has to see what you're doing. God is seeing it. And believe me, He don't forget.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is The Right Motives and was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The Right Motives is today's sermon. Can we please stand one last time in reverence to the Word of God? Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. I'm reading out of the ESV. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your word. I pray that you will anoint me to speak your words and not my own. And all of God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. Well, today's sermon is on giving. And it's not just materialistic things that we're going to be talking about. We're talking about giving our time, our resources, our talents, our service, our finances, all of it, ourselves. Amen? God wants people to do good things and to be generous. How many of us know that? Not very many hands. However, a person's motives are very important to God. Your giving and service to others must be motivated by love and not by selfish ambitions or to be noticed by others. Now, God has no problem with the person being noticed doing good things in His name. In fact, He desires you to be noticed doing good things and Him getting the glory. He is worthy of the glory because He is the one who orchestrated the goodness that comes out of each and every one of us. What God has a problem with is our state of heart when we're doing those things. Are the good things that we do in our life motivated by pure, untainted love for God and for person? Or do we have another motive inside that we want to benefit from? In other words, whenever we do good, it should be for the benefit of the person we're doing it for, and that should be the only reason why we're doing it. Jesus said to love those as you love yourself, which means that you should look at another person in need and say, you know, I'm not only glad that I'm not in that situation, but I'm going to show my thanks by loving this person and doing something about their situation because I love them as I love myself. Amen to that. My first point is righteous acts, serving and giving. Let's look at this first verse in Matthew 6:1. Jesus says to beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Beware, the word is said as a warning. This is a warning that Christ gives us. He is telling us to be alert, to take notice, to understand the consequences of selfish motives in giving and serving. In other words, Christ has given us a warning. He's telling you that if your motives are not correct with God, you will lose your reward. Now, I don't know about any of you in here, but I personally want to be rewarded by God. I do. Because it pleases God to reward me. It makes God happy to reward me. I don't know how he will reward me. I don't like to dictate to God on how to reward me. I don't tell him what to give me and how to give it and when to give it to me. But I do like it when God gives me things, because I know that whatever God gives me is good for me and or other people. Before other people. When Jesus says this, what he is saying is the only person who needs to see good deeds is God. Now, this is the only important person that we need to worry about who is seeing what is going on in your life. And believe me, God sees everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. He is the only person you need to please. Don't be a person pleaser. It will drive you crazy because you can't please anyone. One day they love you, and the next day they hate you. Read the Gospels and you will see that Jesus had him had them praising him one day and trying to crucify him the next. So don't be a person pleaser, be a God pleaser. Now, other people may see what you're doing. There's nothing wrong with having to do something in front of other people. Sometimes you can't avoid it. When I serve this church, people happen to see me doing it. I can't help that. I'm serving you right now, and you see me doing this. Okay, that's not the problem. But if you're doing good deeds to please them, or in order that they may see them, your motives are not of love and they do not please God. So see, God's checking your heart condition. God is checking what is going on in your heart when you're doing these things. There is a price to pay if our motives are selfish. We will lose our reward from God who sees all. See, Jesus says that when you do this to get the praise of other people, that praise that you received, that recognition that you just got, that was your reward. Verse 1 tells us that sin can creep up on us and cause us to perform for selfish reasons. We must be alert and aware of our motives at all times. So ask yourself, am I doing this for God? Am I doing this for me? Does it really matter who sees me doing this? Should I go tell 50 people what I just did? Should I just, you know, make sure everybody knew that I cleaned the bathroom of the church this week? Should I tell everybody that I washed the windows of the church this week? Should I tell everybody at church what I did for my neighbor last week? That's blowing your own trumpet. Verse 1 also reminds us that as Christians, we are commanded to do righteous acts. He says, when you do your righteous acts, right? So he's not saying if you do your righteous acts or righteous acts. He's saying when you do. So as Christians, we're already commanded to do good to other people. Number 2, our motives dictate our reward. Verse 2 of Matthew 6 says, thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. Now, see, listen, he's not just talking about church people. He's not just talking about doing stuff in the church. He's talking about in the streets, too. See, there's some people, they'll come to church and nobody sees what they're doing, but then they'll go to work and everybody sees what they're doing there. Or they'll go home and they'll tell everybody in their family what they're doing. Okay, he's saying that you shouldn't be boasting about this stuff anywhere. As believers, It is expected for us to do good and to give. However, Christ is concerned with our motives behind our services and our giving. Christ warns us not to display our good deeds and our giving in front of the church or in the streets where others can see for the sake of boasting and sounding our trumpet. How embarrassing it is to watch Christian people telling everybody about their good deeds and what they've done. Why did you do them? So that you could get praise? Is that why you done them? When our motives are to receive praise from others, we will lose any reward we would have received from God. The praise of the people and the recognition by the people will be our only reward we receive. When our motives are wrong, we choose the poorest reward. So you think you're gaining something, but you're losing. We cheat ourselves. You think you're winning, but you're losing. You're getting the poorest reward. We can expect no more. It's done. It's over with. It's finished. That's it. When people see what you've done and you receive that praise and that was your motive, God owes you nothing. So you got your pay. You chose it. Don't worry what people are seeing you do. God is seeing it. Okay? There are several wrong motives for giving and doing good. First, recognition and prestige. This is a wrong motive. Recognition and prestige. To be praised by people in life and remembered by them in death. This kind of motive seeks to steal the glory from God and to lift the giver up in the eyes of the people. So some people want to do good things and to give because they want prestige. They're the one that everybody looks to. They're the one that everybody remembers long after they're gone. They live on in immortality, right? Wrong. Number two, another reason is self-admiration. Forget about other people liking you. You might be stuck on yourself. Some people do good so that they feel they have done their best and have outdone everyone else. They seek self-satisfaction with themselves and they glory in themselves. Look what I've done for the church. Nobody else is doing this. That's right. I'm number one around here. I do it all. And when I do it the best. Nobody can compete with me. Sense of duty. Now, this is a scary one. Because some do good just because they believe it's their duty. They have no love for God or people. They just feel obligated to do what they do. This is what everyone expects of me. So I must deliver. These people will work themselves to death. And they will do it with grumbling inside their heart. They will do it with complaining. And they will point the finger at everybody else that isn't holding up their duty. You follow what I'm saying about this one? This is a dangerous one. Because this is the one that looks at other people because they're doing their duty. They expect everybody else to pull their weight. And the moment that they don't see somebody else doing their duty, they start judging that person. Well, why is it that I've got to do this? And I do, but nobody else helps. Nobody else does anything. If only they knew what I had to do around here. If only they could see it. But no, I won't let them see it. I'll just do it out of duty because it's what God requires. And the reason why that is so dangerous is because these people look at other people with condemning eyes. They can poison the water, if you will. This is a very dangerous one. Number four, some do good to win favor with God. This is another dangerous one because you can get into working for your salvation. We don't do that, do we? We're saved by grace. They seek only his approval and favor. How many of you guys know that God, once you become a Christian, once you've accepted Jesus Christ, you've got his favor. You've got his approval. The whole purpose of obedience is so that you can line your life up with Christ so that you can live a prosperous life. It's not to win the approval of God. You've already got it. So you straighten your act up and you live accordingly. But you don't do it to win the approval of God. Well, maybe if I stick some more money into the tithing tray, maybe God will be pleased with that. Or, yeah, I really messed up last week. I did a couple of sinful things that I shouldn't have done. You know what? If I go to the church and I fix something for them, maybe I'll make it up to God. There's people like that. Maybe there's somebody in here right now who thinks that way. But that doesn't please God either. We're not his pets that we perform tricks for. We don't earn his approval. It is given to us through Jesus Christ. Number three, the right motive moves God to reward us. Matthew 6, verses 3 and 4. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The right motives are evident by your secrecy. I said the right motives are evident by your secrecy. So if you're tiptoeing around, making sure nobody knows what you're doing, that's fine. You don't have to really go to those extremes. But the fact that you look around one day and you notice that nobody is noticing what you're doing, and that starts to bother you. You got a heart condition starting. Okay? See, if you've been working for the church or working for God or working for some people and nobody's been noticing, and finally a year goes by, and you start to worry that nobody is seeing what you're doing, and that starts to bother you, something's going on that's not right. Because, see, God is seeing what's going on. God sees what is going on. The right motives are evident through our sacrifices. Christians are to pour themselves out helping others. We are to be obsessed with our ministry, not with the world and its praise. I expect the people that serve at this church to pour themselves out, because I do. I pour myself out, and I expect the same. That means that when you have a ministry, you are to be prepared to do that ministry at all times, at any moment of the day. The Bible says to be what? Prepared to give an answer. That means be ready, because you never know when you might be called by an elder of the church. You don't know when you might be called by God to give witness, to give service, to good, to do good, righteousness. Amen? So, if you're sacrificing yourself and you're pouring yourself out and you're not counting the cost, you're on the right track with God. See, Christians don't count the cost when God says do something. We count the cost when we build a house, but when we do something for God, we don't question it. Believers should be immersed in God and in the needs of others. In other words, when an opportunity comes up to do something good, you should be thinking about God. You should be thinking about the good deed that you're going to do for that person in order to help them. You should be immersed in God. The number one reason why Christians do not have victory in their lives right now is because they are not immersed in God. They're chasing after God because they want a better job, they want a better car, they want a better house, they want a better life, they want a better whatever. And a lot of people will deny that that's how they feel in their hearts, but I beg to differ. I've been doing this for quite a while, and I have been guilty of the same thing. And what I can tell you is what I know is this. When you pour yourself out for God, everything that you need in your life to do what he has called you to do, he will give it to you. He will not give you things that do not line up with his will for your life. So if you're not meant to have that house, you can pray all you want and you can claim it in the name of Jesus all you want. But if it's not in the will of God, he's not going to give it to you. But we should be immersed in God. We should say, Lord, I want your will for my life. And he's going to set you on the right track. And see, that's the way we give. Okay. Believers should be motivated by love, not by praise. So there's going to be times in serving God that no one's going to recognize you. No one's going to care. In fact, you might even be abused for doing it. You might even get backstabbed for doing it. You might even get shamed and ridiculed and rejected for doing it. Unappreciated. God sees all we do, even the secret things. When we do good in secret, we are seeking what is truly good for others and not ourselves. You see what I'm saying? Nobody has to see what you're doing. God is seeing it. All right? And believe me, he don't forget. He don't forget. There was a woman one time. Anybody remember the ice storm? 2007, I think it was. Electricity went out. Well, there was a lady that come to our church, not this church. We didn't have it then. And we had given her blankets and candles and food, and we were bringing her hot food over to her house, and we were taking really good care of her, and she was a new member at the church. And I remember we were giving her a ride home, and she was complaining. She said, 25 years ago, I helped my neighbor who couldn't pay for their electric, and I gave them hot blankets and hot soup and candles, and she was naming all the stuff that she had given them. And she goes, and God didn't do nothing for me. He never paid me back. And we're all looking around at all the stuff we're bringing to her house. And I was like, well, you got it now. She goes, well, that was 25 years ago. Why should I get it now? I should have been rewarded before now. And I said, well, did your electricity go out in the last 25 years? Oh, not to this extreme. No, brownouts and stuff like that. Well, she never needed it. Do you understand what God was doing? He was storing up them blessings for 25 years for that ice storm. And he was waiting until she needed it. Now, she sustained her neighbor for 1 or 2 days. God took care of her for 2 weeks until her electricity came back on. You see, 25 years had passed, and she was grumbling that he never blessed her for that, that it took him 25 years. If he had given her hot blankets and candles and hot food and all that stuff 25 years earlier, she would have been without during the storm. So, see, he was rewarding her, and yet she was still grumbling. What a gracious God we have, right? Okay, so God sees all that we do, even the secret things. When we do good in secret, we are seeking what truly is good for others and not ourselves. Then God is the one who rewards, not people. Now, this is so important about giving. Don't give to people that you think can give back to you, will repay you, or will appreciate it. Don't do that. Don't ever do that, because your reward does not come from people. It comes from God. God will bless you. God will reward you. You take care of whatever God told you to take care of, and you let him be your reward, whatever he deems the reward should be. That way, when you get into an argument with somebody about what they owe you, they don't owe you a thing. God owes it to you. Take it to him, and I wouldn't do that either. But my point is, I've heard people argue, can I borrow 10 bucks? No. What? You remember that time I gave you 20? Love keeps no record. You don't throw it back in people's face, because they don't owe you nothing. Not as a Christian. As a Christian, everything we have belongs to God. So whatever we gave it on behalf of God, not ourselves, right? So if you give your time to another person, they don't owe you nothing, because your time is God's time. If you gave your talents to another person, they don't owe you nothing, because your talent came from God. I don't care how much you practice that talent. God gave you the ability to do it. He gave you the life and the breath in your body to do it. Stop grumbling. Quit acting like people owe you something. Your reward, Jesus says, comes from who? God. It will be an open reward where others can see it. The Lord wants everyone to see who gets what when they serve him with the right heart. This is for lessons purposes. And sometimes I have to lift people up here that serve me. And they don't like it, because they think everything has to be in secret. That's fine for them. But if pastor wants to openly reward you, it's because God told me to do it, so that they can be an example to other people. See, I went to a church one time where nobody knew what anybody was doing, so people didn't want to do anything, because they said, well, no one else is doing anything. That wasn't the case. The pastor wasn't telling anybody what anybody was doing, so everybody thought that nobody was doing anything, so nobody wanted to get involved. But when you go to a church where you see people involved, other people say, wow, I didn't know so-and-so was doing so much, pastor. Well, yeah, you'd be surprised what this guy's been doing, and he needs help. Well, thank you for telling me. I'll go help him. The reward will be of one from a father to a son, not from a master to a servant. Okay, so this is where we're touching on this thing about duty. If you're doing stuff for God because you think he's your master, you don't have a relationship. At least not in the context of what you are doing. You see, God wants to reward you as a father to his son. He wants to give to you out of love the way you gave out of love. But if you start doing things out of duty because you feel like, I got to please God, I got to please others, I just got to do what I've got to do because it's my job. That's master to servant. And Jesus said, I no longer call you my servants, because a servant doesn't know what his master's business is. I call you my friends. We're in a relationship with God. We can come to him like little children and speak to him as the Father, and he will listen to us. But when we start doing things like we're servants and robots and out of duty, and we miss the whole point of a relationship. We're not slaves to God because we're being forced to serve him. We're children to God because we love him and he loves us. The reward will be of one from a father to his son, not from a master to a servant. In conclusion, I want to say God looks at the heart of a person and not just their actions. Of course, God looks at what you're doing with your time and your resources. He looks at that, but he's looking at the motivation behind it as well. We must be careful not to be hypocritical in the eyes of the Father or in the world. We don't want people to see us doing stuff that's hypocritical. Seeking to do good starts with the right motive. However, the right motive starts with seeking Jesus in everything we do.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.